Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Because we view our lives in Christ through the forgiveness we receive from God, I invite us to begin with a penitential order.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and all creation. We have forgotten who we are. We have alienated ourselves from the unfolding of the cosmos. We have become estranged from the movements of the earth. We have turned our backs on the cycles of life.
We have forgotten who we are.
We have sought only our own security. We have exploited simply for our own ends. We have distorted our knowledge. We have abused our power.
We have forgotten who we are.
Now the land is barren, and the waters are poisoned, and the air is polluted. Now the forests are dying, and the creatures are disappearing, and humans are despairing.
We have forgotten who we are.
Now your people are set upon by violence in word and action. We watch in helpless horror or in grim satisfaction as bombs drop, guns blast, people are rounded up, and too many lives are cut down too soon.
We have forgotten who we are. We ask forgiveness. We ask the gift of remembering. We ask for the strength to change. Help us to remember who we are.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The Creator be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, having shown us how far your love goes in saving the lost and forgotten, mercifully grant that we might join you in the work of reuniting with all creatures through Jesus Christ, the wisdom of creation, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen these people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath. Change your mind and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter to Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. If you've ever sat across from me in a meeting, you've probably noticed that my laptop is covered in stickers, a trend I shamelessly copied from people half my age. Okay, maybe even younger than half my age. I think of these stickers on my laptop and my organizer and various water bottles and coffee cups almost as miniature bumper stickers, a way to add some humor and color and even a little moment of zen to an otherwise ordinary workaday object. The biggest sticker on my laptop, and the one that gets the most reactions from people, is simply a sentence in black typewriter-style font that says, "Tell your dog I said hi." I bought it from an organization that helps fund medical services for dogs whose owners can't afford their care. That sounds kind of noble, I guess, but the truth is, I got it for the sheer whimsy of it. For me, whimsy is like having messy hair and wearing bright lipstick. It's just part of who I am. The sticker makes me smile, and sometimes it makes other people smile too. I like that. Two of my stickers are more serious, lest anyone think me frivolous, I suppose. One says, "If you hate anyone because of your faith, you're doing it wrong." The other says, "If you're more fortunate than others, build a longer table, not a taller fence." These stickers speak to the hopes I have for this world and for our church. Faith should never be used as a weapon, and there should always be more room at the table. Those are core beliefs for me. And yet, this past week, I found myself struggling mightily with my beliefs. Faith is being weaponized in our country, turned into something I hardly recognize. And sometimes I want to use my own faith to fight back. It's important to me that Christian nationalists not have the last word on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's also important to me, though, that we don't turn everything into a battle between left and right, that we allow for nuance, and that we don't give in to whitewashing or both sides-ism. That's a lot of "and yets." There's a fine line there, and I'm not always sure that I'm staying on the right side of the line. Am I being just as dogmatic and inflexible as the people I oppose? Am I also cherry-picking verses and seeking out stories that simply confirm my own biases and support conclusions I came to a long time ago? Alongside these questions, there is the problem of how to make room at the table for people I find genuinely harmful or even frightening, especially people who have made it clear that they have no interest in making room at their table for so many people I love and respect. As someone posted online this week, it's one thing to agree to disagree on issues like whether to drink tea or coffee in the morning, but quite another thing when it comes to human rights or the dignity of every human being. And yet, Jesus seemed to be able to make room for everyone, even the really tough cases. Not that he didn't call out individuals for their behavior, but nobody was automatically excluded because they belonged to a particular group. Today's gospel passage is one of many that show how open Jesus was about including all and sundry at his table, and ironically, how it was his very openness that made some people angry and turn against him. As the story opens, the scribes and Pharisees are grumbling at Jesus for eating with tax collectors and sinners. Those terms, those categories are so familiar to us as shorthand for the opposing teams. In this corner, the scribes and the Pharisees, and in this corner, the tax collectors and sinners. That we might forget that this opposition was far more than a matter of social cliques or in-groups and out-groups. The scribes and Pharisees were upright, faithful men who were doing their very best to follow God's commandments. They were, for most of the followers of Jesus, the good guys, the examples. Tax collectors, meanwhile, were not good people. Or at least they were, as a group, people who did bad things. They exploited vulnerable members of the community for a living. Taxation was a major force of division and polarization in Roman-occupied Palestine, leading to wars and insurrections, as well as ongoing conflict between landholders and peasants. The burden of taxes was especially heavy for the people Jesus cared so much about, the poor and marginalized. To the Pharisees and scribes, then, it's bad enough that Jesus eats with sinners, a general term for those people who were perhaps morally disreputable. But it's far worse that he eats with tax collectors because they are actually benefiting from the systemic oppression of his own people. And what's even worse than that is he doesn't just eat with them, he welcomes them. It's not like he holds his nose and grudgingly permits them a place at the table, maybe somewhere down at the far end in the least comfortable chairs. No, he genuinely wants them to be there. And finally, as if to add insult to injury, Jesus seems to be having an effect on these people. The gospel describes them as coming near and listening to Jesus. This is language typically used to describe disciples, people whose lives are being transformed, whose hearts and minds are being changed because of Jesus. Witnessing this kind of conversion is unsettling for those of us who want to believe we're on the right side of history, particularly if our belief is predicated on finding other people wrong. So it's an uncomfortable thing to admit, but there are a lot of people I would have trouble welcoming to my table right now. There are people with real power who are doing so much harm to our democracy, to our environment, and to marginalized persons near and far. I would be hard-pressed to offer genuine welcome to people who, for instance, demonize all immigrants in the name of wanting safe and secure borders, or people who mock victims of gun violence because of their unflinching support of the Second Amendment, and so on. Still, here we are with this gospel and these parables. No matter how I might try to turn aside or make exceptions, I keep bumping up against this image of Jesus sitting at table with tax collectors and sinners and welcoming them. It's almost like Jesus might have been serious when he said, we have to love not only our neighbors, but our enemies. So it turns out it's a really good thing that Jesus hasn't put me in charge of any of the big stuff, like who God will seek out and save and welcome. Luckily for me and everyone else, that is entirely up to God. When Jesus tells these parables about the lost sheep and the lost coin, he is clearly indicating that God doesn't do math the way we do. We are not the shepherd who braves darkness and thorns and bad weather. We are not the diligent woman who searches and sweeps and doesn't give up. God is. God is the gatherer, the seeker, the welcomer, the one whose love and mercy and grace are so beyond our understanding that the words almost lose meaning, or at best hints and guesses, hints followed by guesses. We, on the other hand, might be the ones who are lost and in need of being found. Or we might be among the 99 so-called righteous people who are wondering why on earth God is bothering with that one who has wandered off when we have so many needs right here. And still, either way, there is room for us at the table as long as Jesus is there too. The stickers on my laptop might be seen as performative, even as virtue signaling. Maybe they are. I do want to signal to people that I am a person who loves dogs, that I have a silly sense of humor, and yes, that I believe my faith makes me a better, more generous person. What my little laptop stickers are not meant to do is to shame or scold anyone. They are reminders to myself, a reminder that if I think that God hates the same people I hate, it's a pretty good indication that I've created God in my own image, a reminder that deep down I really only want to sit at a table where no one will be turned away empty-handed, a reminder that whether it makes any sense to me or not, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who need no repentance. I don't understand the math, but I am grateful for it. I want to dedicate myself to building a bigger table, even though I don't know who might end up sitting next to me. And I dream and pray that one day we will all be rejoicing together, having at last overcome our divisions and fears and hatreds as we are swept up in the welcoming arms of an all-loving God. Amen. Amen.
Please stand as you are able. And join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, and came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We pray for the House of Bishops, bishops united against gun violence, and for our own Bishop Megan as she returns from sabbatical. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. We pray for the passage of local, state, and federal laws that will strengthen and protect our communities, treating everyone as children of God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. We pray for reconciliation with the earth and all God's creatures during this season, and we recommit to working for peace with creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. We are grateful today for our godly play teachers, choir members, and all who are beginning the new program year. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Lord, in your mercy, we commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
gracious God, grant that your people may have in them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, and guide us into harmony of relationship through loving kindness and the wise use of all that you have given. For you are drawing all things into communion with you and with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be always with you.
Good morning and welcome all. For those of you that do not know me, I'm Maria Kuhne-Feldman, and I serve as a senior warden on our vestry. And in the coming months, I'm inviting our vestry members to come up here, not only so you kind of get to see who they are and get to know them, but also to just highlight some of the announcements that we have on the yellow sheet. So I'll start with the two things that are happening today. One is that we have an informational meeting about sacred ground that Reverend Pamela and Carol Hom will be introducing. And for those of you not familiar, Sacred Ground is an amazing course that was from the Episcopal Church, developed by the Episcopal Church. And it's a discussion series on race that is grounded in faith. And it's an amazing look, if you will, into the history, not just of our church, but also our country. As part of that, we're also have some individuals who attended the pilgrimage to Tule Lake this last Friday, and we'll be sharing some of those, some of our comments about the Tule Lake War Relocation Center. Also, next Sunday has been set as the day to celebrate Sunday, S-U-N, and is going to be here today to make signs for the nationwide Sunday, and that will be happening outdoors today. And the big thing for me and for our vestry and for you as a community, we are launching our stewardship season next Sunday, and we're going to start that with a guest preacher. And we'll also be having a continental breakfast, and we welcome all of you to join us, and not just to listen to the Reverend Julia McCrae Goldsmith, but also to hear a little bit more about our stewardship this year. And Pamela will talk a little bit more about Reverend Julia in a few moments. And I also want to point out that our treasurer, Jessianne Owens, wrote a little blurb there about the excellent financial news that we have for this year, so please take a peek at that. On behalf of Pamela and her family, I also want to let you know that we're all invited to celebrate the life of David Lau next on Saturday, September 27th at 3 o'clock. Here at St. Martin's, and then we'll have a reception following that. And let's see, what did I miss? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to introduce Pamela, because we do have a change in the distribution of communion today, and I'm sure she'll be able to explain it much better than I can.
Thank you, Maria. Yes, please do come to one or both of the events happening after church today, and get ready for some more fun events happening during the season, the stewardship season that we have coming up. You'll also see on the back page that there's a cool flyer that Gabe created. We got very invested in the be known, be loved, all that. So we'll have a lot of bees around. You'll be seeing that. One thing before I get to the change in our communion practice, I did also want to mention that you've probably seen the announcements that we have the bishop coming in December. But in preparation for that, I'm going to start offering a class that will be for anyone. Well, it's for anyone. If you want to come to the class, you're welcome to come to the class. But it's designed especially for people who are interested in deciding whether to be confirmed, whether to be received into the Episcopal Church. And those things will be explained at the first class. So I hope that a lot of you will be interested. And even if you've already been confirmed or received, or you're not interested in doing that, you still might find things of interest in the class. So more information about that is in your yellow sheet. So for communion today, we are going to essentially go back to something that we used to do before the pandemic, but it's been a while for all of us, and some of us weren't even here then. So I'll try to explain it as clearly as I can. It's in writing in here, and then we'll just learn it together again as we move forward today and into the following weeks and months. So usually I invite you to come forward and pick a side. You don't have to pick sides anymore. Isn't that good news? Come forward, and what is probably best for most people is just to stick to the side where you've been sitting. So if you're on this side, you'll come over here. If you're on this side, you'll come over here. And we'll still have an usher who will kind of let you know when it's time to fill in, starting from the back. But what will be different is the communion will be offered the same way on both sides. That's why you don't have to pick sides. So the priest will come around with bread and hand you the bread. If you know that you want to drink from the chalice or you don't want any wine at all, you simply consume the bread. When the wine comes, you either drink from it or you cross your arms indicating no wine. If you would like to intinct, we still need to intinct for you, dip it into the chalice for you so that we don't have lots of different hands on the chalice. But so what you'll do is the priest will hand you the bread and you'll hold it in your hand so that when the person comes along with the chalice, you've still got the bread. And you know, and they know then that you want it intincted. So the Eucharistic minister will be the one who will intinct the bread into the wine and hand it back to you. It's going to take some getting used to. So just go slow. We'll all try to figure it out together. It's okay to talk to the person giving you communion if you need to clarify something. And we will see how it works. There are celebrations and milestones today. I know of two. One is that Carla and Craig Harris have just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. I know. And another is that the Kuodza family, who normally sits up here with adorable Sydney, has welcomed another adorable child into their home. Samuel was born a couple of days ago. So, yes. Also, really good news. Are there other celebrations or milestones you'd like to share? Okay. Oh, wait, over here. Yes.
We found out yesterday that my now daughter and son are going to have their second child in mid-January.
Oh.
Their son is very excited.
There's a grandchild coming. There's a grandbaby coming in
January.
January. Excellent. Okay. Oh, I forgot to say thank you for pointing that out. If you are new here, if you are joining us for the first time or just visiting, we do have welcome bags. So our usher in the back has those, and all you need to do is raise your hand and you will have a welcome bag brought to you. There is no strings attached. There is chocolate inside. So please raise your hand if you would like a welcome bag. Yay. Okay, turning to page 6 in our bulletin, we will say the celebrations and milestones prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
The Creator be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Creator.
Let us give thanks to our loving God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Praise and thanks are yours, our creating God. From the dust of the earth, you shaped human beings in your own image, and you filled the earth and seas and skies with a myriad of wonders. Yet we consistently turn your generosity into our scarcity, your elegance into our meanness, and your simplicity into our corruption. Though we poison and destroy your good creation, you continue to offer us your abundance. In your mercy, you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus, transforming death into life. Through the Spirit, you continue to call us into covenant with you for the restoration of creation and the reconciliation of all people. And so we give you thanks, rejoicing with all of creation as we join the saints and angels in their unending hymn. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks to God. He broke the bread, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He took the wine and gave thanks to God, Creator. He gave it to his friends, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for all creation for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink of the wine, do this in remembrance of me." So we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Merciful God, we come to this table seeking reconciliation with you, with one another, and with all creation. Through these mysteries, reconcile us to our world and empower us to restore your creation and fulfill your will. Send your life-giving Spirit upon us and upon this bread and wine, that it may be for us the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Stir in us the creative and redeem the destructive. Heal your stricken world, that the soil, the skies, and the seas may be filled with your life anew. Fill every heart with the sure and certain hope that we shall enter into the fullness of your joy, when your whole creation is justified by faith and sanctified by love, and you are all in all. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, everlasting God, now and forever. Amen. And now first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Oh,
Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Deep peace, pure white of the moon to you. Deep peace, pure green of the grass to you. Deep peace, pure brown of the earth to you. Deep peace, pure gray of the dew to you. Deep peace, pure blue of the sky to you. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
In peace, to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.